Srimad Bhagavad Gita as it is, the Yoga of the Supreme Person, text number 16. Dvavimo purusho loke Sharas chakshareva cha Sharas arvani bhutani Kutasto shara uchite Dvo two. Imao, these, purushao, living entities, loke, in the world, shara, fallible, cha, and akshara, infallible, eva, certainly, cha, and shara, fallible, sarvani, all, bhutani, living entities, kutasta, in oneness, akshara, infallible, uchite, is said. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. There are two classes of beings, the fallible and the infallible. In the material world, every living entity is fallible. And in the spiritual world, every living entity is called infallible. Report. As I explained, the Lord in His incarnation as Vyasadeva compiled the Vedanta Sutra. Here the Lord is giving, in summary, the contents of the Vedanta Sutra. He says that the living entities who are innumerable can be divided into two classes, the fallible and the infallible. Living entities are eternally separated parts and parcels of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When they are in contact with the material world, they are called Jiva Bhuta. And the Sanskrit words given here, Shara Sarvani Bhutani, mean that they are fallible. Those who are in oneness with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, however, are called infallible. Oneness does not mean that they have no individuality, but there is no disunity. They are all agreeable to the purpose of the creation. Of course, in the spiritual world, there is no such thing as creation. But since the Supreme Personality of God has stated in the Vedanta Sutra is the source of all emanations, that conception is explained. According to the statement of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, there are two classes of living entities. The Vedas give evidence of this, so there is no doubt about it. The living entities who are struggling in this material world with the mind and five senses have their material bodies, which are changing. As long as the living entity is conditioned, his body changes due to contact with matter. Matter is changing, so the living entity appears to be changing. But in the spiritual world, the body is not made of matter. Therefore, there is no change. In the material world, the living entity undergoes six changes: birth, growth, duration, reproduction, then dwindling and vanishing. These are the changes in the material body. But in the spiritual world, the body does not change. There is no old age, there is no birth, there is no death. They all exist in oneness. Shara, Sarvani, Bhutani. Any living entity who has come in contact with matter, beginning from the first created living being, Brahma, down to a small ant, is changing its body. Therefore, they are all fallible. In the spiritual world, however, they are always liberated in oneness. Dvavimo purusho loke shara chakshara evacha sarvasarvani bhutani kutasashara uchite. There are two classes of beings, the fallible and the infallible. In the material world, every living entity is fallible. In the spiritual world, every living entity is called fallible. Krishna Prema, Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema, Sarakavinoi, Shravanadi, Shudachite, Koryo Udoi. That all living entities are all eternally Nitya Siddhas. That all of us are Nitya Siddhas. Any questions? Krishna Prema, that's our nature is Krishna Prema. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema, Sarakavinoi. Shravanadi. And that can be realized if we hear about Krishna. Shravanadi, Shuddha Chitte, then the original consciousness can be awakened. We're all eternally beyond the modes of material nature, but right now we're asleep. And because we're asleep, we're dreaming. And the dream is that we think we're part of the material nature. When we wake up, then we can actually understand who we really are and what our real activities are. So Krishna consciousness is the activity by which we can wake up by being put under the internal energy. It's the internal energy of Krishna that wakes us up. As Krishna says in the 9th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Abhijananti mamuda manushintanam ashvityam parambhavam ajananto mamabhuta maheshwaram. That the fools, deride at my descending in this human-like form, they don't know my transcendental nature and my supreme dominion over all the big. Previous to that, Krishna has said, Maya Dakshena Prakriti Suyate Sacharacharam Hetuna Nena Kuntia Jagati Parivartate. This material nature is all moving under my direction and producing all moving and non-moving beings, and by its rule, this creation is manifested and annihilated again and again. In other words, behind this great machine called the material nature, there's a person, namely Krishna. And people don't know that when Krishna personally comes, as he did 5,000 years ago, he's the very same person who's controlling everything in the material universe. When Krishna was entered into the arena to fight against Mustika and Chunara, then at that time, Krishna was speaking to the two big wrestlers who were strong as thunderbolts, saying that, what would you like us to do? And the wrestler said, well, the king has called you here for a wrestling match to entertain him and the citizens. Krishna said, well, you know, I'm just a little boy. I'm only around 15 years old. You guys are as strong as thunderbolts. You've been practicing wrestling. All we do is sometimes we play with my friends in the forest and we just act as if we're wrestling, but actually we're just playing around. So Janara and Vastika said, no, actually we know who you guys are. You're the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You're the one who's controlling the whole universe. So it behooves you to fight the strongest of the fighters, me, and your brother Balaram, your elder brother Balaram, can fight Janara. So they understood Krishna is controlling the whole universe, and yet they were so bewildered by the illusion, they thought they were going to fight against Krishna and possibly win. So that's called Maya. But they're not the only ones under Maya. We're also under Maya. We may think, well, these people are pretty foolish, but we're also... First of all, they're in a much better position than they are. I mean, they personally had contact with Krishna. Krishna personally touched them very closely. And they got to touch Krishna very... So, although they were an illusion... But at least they were killed by Krishna and Balaram. On the other hand, we're also an illusion. We're thinking, oh yes, Krishna, he's God, so what? I'm still independent. I can do what I want. And I'll be all right. No worries. Therefore, Krishna says, they're fools, although I'm coming like an ordinary boy, but actually I'm lifting Govardhan Hill. But how did Kamsa react when he heard, according to the Nectar of Devotion, when he heard that Krishna is lifting Govardhan Hill, he said, what is the power of this boy? So he lifted one pebble, Govardhan Hill. And then he heard that some of his friends were killed by this boy. And he said, well, I'm getting a little worried. But anyhow, what is the power of the boy? Just because, Kuriya said, because he defeated one harmless water snake, Kaliya's servant. What's the power of this boy? But then Nectar Devotion said that actually I can't go out because my heart is trembling out of fear of this boy. So although the demons may see Krishna perform wonderful activities, still they think he's ordinary. Just like the followers of Harini Kashyapu, as we're reading in the Bhagavatam, we haven't quite got to that point, but we probably know it's going to come. In our class, he suffers a very slow death. takes him days, weeks. But after her Nikashibu is cut by the nails of Nrsingadev, then all his followers attack Nrsingadev. Now, what kind of intelligence do you have? The person who's all the demigods are afraid of just got smashed, just got cut in half with the nails of this half man, half lion, and you're going to defeat him? Good luck. It's a suicide. But then again, because their intelligence out of anger was taken away by illusion, therefore they attacked him anyhow. And of course they were all killed. Like flies flying into the fire, thinking this, we're going to put that fire out. And you go, pop, pop, pop. Yeah, you did it, guys. You definitely put the fire out. It was worth the sacrifice. So you wonder, you know, all these flies are flying into the fire. Can't they see everyone before them has just gotten burned to ashes? No, they can't, because they've lost their intelligence. So therefore they're called fallible. Only when we're under the influence of the internal energy do we have any real intelligence. Otherwise, our intelligence is immediately taken away by illusion. We may pride ourselves in how intelligent we are, how much we are able to accomplish with our prowess, but actually, as soon as we're out of the spiritual energy, then everything we do is a waste of time. No matter how glorious it may be, then we're just wasting our time. Therefore, Prabhupada would criticize our big, big leaders, whoever they were, or whoever they might be, whether it be Napoleon, or Hitler, or Gandhi. They thought themselves doing something very significant, but they disappeared and everything's going on. Nothing has really changed. So we've come here, we think we're putting on a big show, and we'll go and all be forgotten about. Only Krishna won't forget whatever service we render to him. Only as much as we come under the influence of the internal energy, and how to do that, as Krishna says, Mahatmanas tumam partha, daivim prakriti mashitya, vajananya manaso gyatrabhutidim avya. Are the great souls, those who are actually souls who are awake and doing something valuable, they're under the internal energy, they're fully engaged in devotional service because they know me, the Supreme Lord, original and exhaustible. And what is their activity? Are they building skyscrapers and fixing computers, or what are they doing? No. Sadatam kirti antamam yitanshis chadrida vrataha namanyas tashvam yak bhakta nityuta upasite. Always chanting my glory, endeavoring with great determination, bowing down before me, these great souls perpetually worship me with devotion. So that little devotional service, chanting Hare Krishna, worshiping Krishna, bowing before Krishna, these things are valuable. Everything else is considered a waste of time. Everything else will put us into the internal energy, and yes, we may get a better material circumstance, we may get another worse material circumstance, but these material circumstances have nothing to do with us, the soul. Amadi vat nirgunadvat paramatmayam avyam sharira stopikantiyana karodinan lipite. Those with the eyes of eternity can see that the soul is eternal, transcendental, and beyond the modes of material nature. Despite contact with the material body or Arjuna, the soul is neither entangled nor is he doing anything. But certainly it seems like we're doing something. Yeah, so Krishna says, prakritim cha, what is it? Yata prakashi ekam kritsam lokimam ravi tita eva cha vishtaram brahma sampadite tita. That's not right. Yata prakashi yekam kritsnam lokimam ravi kshetram kshetri tita kritsnam prakashi ti bharata. Just like the sun is in one place, but it's illuminating the entire universe with its sunlight, so the soul situated in the body illuminates the entire body with consciousness. So certainly we're conscious of our body, but that doesn't mean that we're not, or that doesn't mean that we're actually changing when the body changes. We're always aloof, but we illuminate the body with our spiritual consciousness. And therefore we have some awareness of what's going on within the body and outside the body. But the person who's aware is never changing. No matter what happens, he always remains the same. His experience will change, but he'll never change. The soul will always remain the same. And therefore, what the soul is looking for in the material world is knowledge of how to become happy here. But there is no happiness to how to become happy in the material world. Anyone who says, I found the way of becoming happy in the material world, is in ignorance. Because there's no way to become happy in the material world. So, when the soul tries to figure out how to become happy in the spiritual world, then he gains some intelligence. Then he gets some real knowledge, because that is knowledge. Everything else is simply a product of ignorance. No matter how appealing it may be, but ultimately it's a waste of time. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? I hope it's a devotee.
Please accept my humble obeisances. Should we try to understand the extraordinary Krishna's activities by using intelligence, or is it beyond our abilities?
Well, everything, yeah. We should try to understand Krishna with our intelligence. What else? We have nothing else to understand him with. We have to try to understand him. That's the whole purpose of the Krishna consciousness movement. Now, we're not going to understand exactly how he's moving the sun in this orbit. But we can admire how we cut our finger, and by Krishna's arrangement, it gets healed after some time. We've seen Krishna's mystic power everywhere. Sunrise, as it's this 15th chapter, is telling us how to perceive Krishna's mystic power within our experience. The movement of the planets, digesting food, the fact that Krishna is giving us remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness, how he compiled the Vedanta, and how he's the knower of all the Vedas. So we should know Krishna to the best of our ability. But the idea is not just to know Krishna intellectually, but try to serve him out of love. By knowing Krishna, we can become fixed in our devotional service without anxiety of what will happen to us, knowing that we're under Krishna's protection, in good or bad. And therefore we can always be peaceful, that whatever's happening to us has been arranged by Krishna, and that there's no need for me to worry. That much we should know. And then we should happily and attentively and carefully do our service to Krishna. We don't have to know everything about Krishna. Even in the Krishna book it says the queens of Dwarka didn't know very much about Krishna, although they were living with him. All but their love for him, less like the love for the gopis. The gopis said, we can't know very much about Krishna, but their love for Krishna was unsurpassed. Besides that, the only important part about Krishna for us is his loving exchanges in Vrindavan. When you go to Vrindavan, I mean, maybe they heard about, at least in Gokula Vrindavan, when Krishna on this planet, they heard from Purnamasi how Krishna had taken different incarnations, how he was loved Ramachandra, and he had defigured Sorpanaka. Although she came to him, and he should have satisfied him as a Kshatriya is supposed to satisfy women like that, but he didn't. Instead of that, at least Lakshman cut off her nose and ears. So they started to criticize him out of love. So they didn't know that much about him, but they heard from Purnamasi something about him. But they didn't take it very seriously. Just like we know we're not this body, but we don't take it very seriously. Well, they know Krishna is God, but they don't take it seriously. So we're not trying to achieve just knowledge about Krishna, we're trying to achieve love for Krishna. Anything else? Yes.
Hare Krishna, thank you. So you said that when we are asleep in illusion, we get woken up by the internal energy. So even though someone who starts practicing devotional service, he's in contact, with this internal energy, with Krishna, with devotees, prasadam, but what is keeping him asleep? What is keeping him from being woken up?
His devotional service significantly or sufficiently seriously enough. Devotional service is not externally just performing activities of the body. It's absorption of the mind in Krishna consciousness. That's how we come into the internal energy. Practice, but the internal energy is by our service and by our service attitude. We can do service and we can have all kinds of motivations other than to please Krishna. But the essence of the service is to try to please Krishna by the service. Then Krishna will put us on the internal energy. Anything else? Yes. We have a relay team here. Pass the baton.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. You were speaking about at the beginning of the class how we're all Nitya Siddhas. And I'm wondering if we're all like eternal associates of Krishna, and he actually like this morning we spoke about how Radharani's expansion of Krishna and also Maya's expansion of Radharani. Is it that Krishna gives forgetfulness in the sense?
What happened to our sacred microphone? I think it's dead. Say Ali Nilo Prema Dana. Our battery died. During devotional service.
Like Maya is also differentiated whether we take a shelter in difficulties to Krishna, and then this helps us to remember Krishna more, and this is like Yoga Maya, like Puranamasi, and if we turn away from Krishna, this is like Maya.
Yes, as soon as we turn away from devotional service, and then we're put under Yoga Maya. Then immediately, when we're outside of Yoga Maya, we're put under Mahamaya, or either one of the two energies. Anyhow, the point is, the answer is, we're either under Yoga Maya or under Mahamaya. That's our choice. Every moment we have that choice, which energy to be under. At least we know we have a choice. Most people have no idea what the choice is. They think it's either brand A beer or brand B beer. That's their choice.
So if we're all like Nitya Siddhas, and that means that it doesn't really matter whether we serve Krishna in this world or in spiritual world, or we should ultimately strive to come back to spiritual world. Like sometimes we hear like, oh, I want to go to Goloka Vrindavan, I want to go back and leave this miserable material world. And sometimes we hear like, Mama Janmani, Janmanishvare, you know, like, I don't care if I'm here
in
this.
I'm certainly not going to argue with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Okay.
No, he's wrong. He was in Maya. He didn't know what he was doing. That's what happens when you're a neophyte. Now Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying, Mama Janmani Janmanishvare, Bhavata Bhakti Ahai, but he wants unalloyed devotional service, and unalloyed devotional service is as good as being in the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. Krishna's pastimes in Gokula Vrindavan are the same quality as that of Goloka Vrindavan. There's no real difference. So here, if we're under the internal energy, it's as good as being in the spiritual world.
Thank you.
Anything else? Thank you very much. Grandaraj, Shrimad Bhagavad Gita, Ki Jai.